May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1065. O Thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to Thee. In all my sorrows, conflicts, woes, Jesus, remember me. Hymn 1065.
Oh, From the Holy Word of God, let us turn to read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and reading from verse 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, reading from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1, went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred and yet solemn word unto us each. And let us pray. Most holy and most gracious God, do teach us how to pray. Come, Lord, in the power of thy Spirit, and help our infirmities. Lord, we would humble ourselves before thee here, in this place this night, as we are found beneath thy word of truth. And may thy word, Lord, enter into each one of our hearts. Thy Spirit to write it there, upon the fleshy tables of our hearts, that we may know thy word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Lord, may thy word search us out, search us through and through, as to how we stand before thee, the living God. Of ourselves, Lord, we are wretched, guilty sinners, transgressors a multitude of times against thy holy law. And our hearts, Lord, do not tell us, do not give witness that we are sinners. They are hard, they are corrupt. They are determined to lead us in a way that seems right unto ourselves. And Lord, we prove day by day how much we are in league with Satan and the spirit of evil. We cannot keep ourselves, Lord, in the way of truth. But oh, what mercy is to be found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come here this night to these earthly courts, appointed for prayer, for praise, and oh Lord, we trust for blessing, that we, Lord, may fall before thee, humbly confessing our sin, and we plead the precious name of Jesus and his sin-atoning blood. Oh Lord, look upon us in thy mercy. Be mindful of us and grant us, Lord, some token for the good of our soul. O Lord, how easy we can come with hard hearts, so cold and so formal, perhaps brought up from a babe, under the sound of thy word and attending the courts of thy house. And the same things we hear again and again and again, and we become hardened to it, and it has no effect. Oh Lord, we pray that if any of us have a hard heart like that, then thou wilt break it. Break it through the power of thy word applied by thy Spirit to convince of sin, and then to lead to Jesus' blood, and that broken, contrite heart, we pray, Lord, thee to heal it, make it whole again, not hard but softened, a heart of flesh, sensitive, tender, to all things that are evil, tender and sensitive to the things of thy love. O Lord, may such hearts be within us each, whether we are younger or older. And so, Lord, may we cleave unto thee, knowing only thou, Lord, can form us as one for thy praise. Only thou canst call us into thy most marvellous light. Only thou, Lord, can save us by thy grace. Lord, may that be the case with each one of us here and our loved ones, those, Lord, whom we bear before thee, pleading for thy mercy upon them. Oh, we pray for thy people here, Lord, each one of them, that this place, Lord, appointed for prayer and praise, or may be also a Bethlehem, a house of bread, a feeding upon thy word, the feeding, Lord, unto their souls of the bread of heaven, the sacrifice for sin, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whose body was broken, whose blood was spilled, to feed, Lord, there by faith, upon the dying Saviour's love, and to know it, Lord, in its power, its sweetness, its fullness, to the life of our soul. O Lord, increase our faith, that we may embrace this wondrous work of redemption that is through Jesus and His shed blood. So, Lord, we come this night pleading with Thee that Thou wilt be mindful of us, that Thou wilt speak unto us each, and do not send us empty away. Lord, Thou knowest each of our cases, our conditions, the circumstances of our lives. Lord, remember the children and the young people. O Lord, we earnestly bear them before Thee in this evil day. So much to carry them away into the ways of evil, the ways of ungodliness, the ways, Lord, in which there is no hope. And, O Lord, there Satan would desire to have them and keep them. But, O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt rule and overrule in all things concerning them, that Thy Spirit, Lord, may rule their heart. And Lord, that Thou wilt call them by Thy grace. Thou wilt set Thy love within them. And may they come to the knowledge of their own soul as a sinner, saved by grace, to walk in love before Thee, and to testify of Thy goodness and mercy toward them. And raise, Lord, from amongst the rising generations those who shall be the continuation of Thy visible church upon this earth, even here in this place. O Lord, do act to the church such as shall be saved. And Lord, from amongst those, appoint them as those mothers in Israel, those tender, praying ones that give wise counsel, that bear one another before Thee in the bosom of prayer. Lord, office bearers, deacons, ministers of the gospel, pastors of churches. O Lord, we pray earnestly Thou wilt appoint these things. Appoint them in our own land. Appoint them, Lord, throughout the world. And so, Lord, we pray that there will ever be a people, whilst the days remain, even here, to call Thee the Redeemer blessed. And Lord, those in older years with duties, responsibilities, business, family cares and concerns, Lord, we lay them before Thee. Lord, help them in the daily paths of life. Help them in all that they have to turn their hands and mind to. Lord, do direct their paths. Support them through Thy grace. Hear and answer the many prayers of, Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, save me. Lord, hear the prayers of those when they commit their works unto Thee, that their thoughts may be established. Lord, give all needed wisdom, give all needed grace, and so may there be prosperity in all earthly things, whilst we dwell upon this earth, knowing, Lord, it is of Thy good hand, Thy mercy and Thy grace that hath granted us the benefits. and all the glory shall be thine. Lord, remember those of older years. Lord, perhaps fearing a pain, afflictions. Lord, it may not be older years, when none of us know the length of our days. But, O Lord, where the burden concerning eternity may be strong, then, Lord, may that inward strength through thy spirit and power and operation of thine eternal love be strong. Cast out fear. And, O Lord, do grant some sweet confirmation that such a soul is thine, as they are theirs and thou art theirs. Lord, do help in all things that bring trouble and anxiety. Lord, that bring the burden of many cares. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for that sweet word. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt thee in due time, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. O Lord, do we not prove again and again untold mercies, undeserving that we are of the least one of them? Yet, Lord, we need all thy mercy. We need all thy grace. O Lord, come and help us now this night. Help us, Lord, in the hearing and the speaking. And Lord, may there be a prophet to each one of us. Lord, may the words of these lips and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We thank thee, Lord, where thou hast been mindful of us. Lord, those times when perhaps there seemed to be no way, no way to look forward to anything that was good. Lord, perhaps overcome with sorrow, a bereavement maybe, sadness of heart, cast down in spirit. But Lord, thou didst appear, made a way where there was no way, and granted more grace. Another token of thy heavenly love, another sound of thy voice, another sweet visit of thine. O Lord, if there's a needy soul here tonight, needing thee to come, then may it be such a time as this, that thou wilt come and speak through thy word to the comfort, blessing and strengthening of that soul. Lord, if there's any here dead in trespasses and in sins, hard of heart, cold of nature, then Lord, may thy word enter in to break that heart, and to put that fire within that burns. And as it was, Lord, with those on the road to Emmaus, able to say, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? And that, Lord, led to the revealing of thyself to those in love and mercy. O Lord, we commend these things to thee. And Lord, we would also commend to thee our nation. The troubles, the trials, Lord, the difficulties, the weakness we have come into, the sinfulness, the departing from thy word, the judiciary even saying that the law of this land has no room in within it for the Christian faith. O Lord, how rapidly these days seem to have come upon us. And we fear and wonder where the scene, as it were, may end. But, Lord, our eyes upon to thee. Oh, have mercy upon us. Lord, we would pray for our government. Oh Lord, there's many things they seem to say and do at this present time which we cannot agree with. But oh Lord, we would still pray for them, that thou will give them wisdom, thou will give them understanding, thou will put within them thy fear, thou will bring them to their knees in prayer, seeking thy help. O Lord, only thou canst work that work and overturn the desire of those who would bring more evil within the legislation of our land. O Lord, do hear our cries. Lord, is there not a cause? Is the cause within us? Our coldness left our first love. Lord, we depend on so many material things and not on thee as we should. Oh, the sinfulness of our own heart, the weakness of our flesh. Lord, in thy wrath remember mercy and turn us again unto thee, that we may be a nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, do hear us in our poor prayers in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. Help our friend in choosing and giving out the hymns. Undertake for him, and Lord, his fellow deacon with him also. Bind them together in thy love, and each one of the church. And Lord, each one of the congregation. May this place be where it is said, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. We ask these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1077. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way canst show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. Hymn 1077.
in complete dependence upon our Lord, that he himself will open up and speak through his holy, gracious word to us. Let us your prayerful attention by way of a text to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 20. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The 20th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Dear friends, this is not a text I would desire to preach from this evening, but it's a word that has not left me all day. And may the Lord have a purpose in it, that his word may fulfill what he desires to accomplish within our hearts. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The similitude is of a tree which by nature we can tell what it is. It is confirmed by the fruit, the sight of it, and the taste of it. We may detect it through its shape. We may detect it through its leaves. But the fruit is the confirming. And the Lord Jesus here says it is so with people such as we, that by our fruits, the evidences in an outward form, our walk in life, our conduct in life, then there is evidence of what we are. So this word is very discerning, isn't it? Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Whether one is a child of God, a true child of God, or whether one is not. And now these words here, they don't teach us salvation by works. God forbid. Salvation is through the grace of God alone. But dear friends, where that grace is truly bestowed in the heart of a sinner, there will be an effect. The Lord Jesus describes it as the new birth, a new heart. Old things are passed away, all things become new. There is an effect of the work of grace upon the heart. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. There are many places in the scripture which describes, testifies, exhorts how we should live our lives upon this earth, things we should do, things we should not do. We find it in the law of Moses. We find it in the epistles to the churches. We find it in the teaching of Jesus Christ, in the gospel. And particularly in this portion of these few chapters here in Matthew, and they call the Sermon on the Mount. Now this portion here, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them, it falls between two solemn teachings of Jesus. He's just been speaking of the straight gate and the wide gate. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Perhaps we think immediately of all the evil that rules in the hearts of many upon this earth and ever has done. It brings about murder, violence, deceit, falsehood, fornications, going one's own way, delighting only in the glory of one's flesh, overtaken by the lust of the heart and the pride and self-will. And we read of many solemn characters, don't we, in the scriptures, who we would soon place in this broad way. King Ahaz, maybe, Jezebel, maybe, and others who feared not God. But following this, the Lord Jesus teaches of those who saith unto him, Lord, Lord. They call him Lord. And they declare that they prophesied in his name. And they've cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Surely they are in the narrow way that leadeth unto life eternal. But the Lord Jesus said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now you perhaps heard me refer to this portion before. It was made quite a searching word to me when I was in my late teens and early twenties. I remember asking an elder or a leader, whatever he was, in a church which I was attending at the time, I can't do this. I can't prophesy, preach, cast out devils, do wonderful works. What hope is there for me? And that poor man couldn't give me an answer. Oh, dear friends, how solemn to depend upon our own works. As if they are good enough to take us from time into a blessed eternity in the kingdom of heaven. These that pleaded their own works, valued their own works more than the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And therefore their work, good as it was in the outward sense, was iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They were works of evil. They were evil trees, evil fruit. And so the Lord solemnly judged them. As he said here, every tree that bringeth not forth a good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's the same with those who trust in themselves, isn't it? The Lord spoke to Jeremiah in a vision of good figs and naughty figs, or evil figs, as we could say. The good figs were those who were taken into captivity, into Babylon. The evil figs were those who remained behind, trusting in themselves that they could defeat the enemy, which was the chastening hand of God upon them for their sin. Or they that trusted in themselves and did not submit to the mighty hand of God, they perished. But those who were taken into captivity, although they were subject to the chastening hand of God, they were the subjects of the Lord's grace, that he would bring them again into their own land. Dear friends, as a consequence of that grace which was known, oh, you look how they returned. Humble, with thanksgiving, with praise unto their God. Are those not the good works? Are those not the things that honour God? Are those not the things in which he forms in his people for his praise? Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. But you say, oh, that portion of scripture which you read, they were the words of Jesus. He spoke of the last days. He spoke how he would come and judge all men in that great day of the resurrection of the just and the unjust. All nations shall be gathered unto him, and he will divide as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. And he said to the sheep on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Were they not being judged according to their works? Was this not their a passport, who would say, into glory? This was the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and his manner of judgment. No, dear friends, that wasn't the case. We find that these, whom the Lord spoke to, these sheep, they didn't plead those things. When the Lord spake unto them, they said, when? When saw we sick or in prison and came unto? When did we do this? It was something they'd never taken heed to as a worthy matter to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The only plea of the sheep is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sin. You see, upon the sheep, the Lord pours out the Spirit of grace and of supplications. And that Spirit of grace causes that hard, barren, dead heart by nature, a rebellious heart, the same as all the wicked of this world, and we're no different in our nature, are we? From the vilest of sinners. Oh, how wretched creatures we are by nature. Yet under the outpouring of the Spirit of grace and of supplication, this work of God toward those whom he's known from before the foundation of the world, there's a quickening. There's an enlivening. There's a vision, there's a sight, there's faith given, there's knowledge given, knowledge of what they are in their dreadful state and condition, guilty under the holy law, and guilty under the holy law, only worthy of a solemn condemnation, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forevermore, and they tremble at the word of God. And dear friends, one wouldn't by our own thought say that's a spirit of grace, would we? But it is. Because with that spirit of grace, there's earnest prayer. The supplications are made. Supplications unto God for his mercy. Why, there's a sight given. A sight given of a hope in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And the scripture says, and they shall, not won't or might or if, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Yes, the soldiers pierced him, as the hymn writer says, through and through. The soldiers pierced him, it is true, but we have pierced him, through and through. Oh, the cost of the sins of the guilty sinner that was laid upon Christ. Dear friends, do you know anything of this spirit of grace and of supplications? That time, that season in your life, it may be even now, where through perhaps the manner, the circumstances of your life, oh, he's brought you into a sorrowful state, a dreadful state, and the Lord is sanctifying your pathway to the good of your soul. And dear friends, if he's sanctifying it, he will give you that spirit of grace and of supplication to look unto a Christ, because you're so unworthy of any mercy. Yet, you need it all. And you're compelled, you're constrained to cry for mercy. Now, dear friends, that's the cry of the destitute, who've got nothing in themselves, only sin and guilt and iniquity. But what a wonderful word that is, isn't it, in the Psalms? The Lord regardeth the prayer of the destitute. It's his work. He's begun it. He's working within that heart and soul. He's calling it out of nature's darkness. He's calling it away from the love of the world and earthly things. He's going to set his love in that heart. A love which is above all other things. Oh yes, we still have our earthly loves, and we need things, don't we, for our daily lives. But there's going to be that love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that is far greater than any earthly love. Because by faith we look upon a dying Saviour. One languid, pierced through and through, in all their sufferings on Calvary's cross. And oh, to hear that voice, all this was done for you, all this was done for you. Dear friends, that breaks the hard heart. That melts the heart. It becomes poured out before him. It mourns over one sin. It mourns after Christ. Oh, the cost of one sin, what caused the dear Saviour, the Son of God, to condescend to come unto this earth, to be made sin for us, sin for you, sin for me. Oh, the teaching of the Spirit, the eye of faith, to behold the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin. Oh, dear friends, in that morning, there's a sweet word as well, isn't there, in the Scriptures? Ye now have sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. It shall be turned into joy. I will see you again, says Jesus to his disciples, before he suffered. He was going to bear their sin. He was going to pay the price for it under the law, the law's demand, that justice can be satisfied, that without the shedding of blood, pure, undefiled, innocent blood, there is no remission of sin. Without that shedding. And then, dear friends, where the Lord has begun this work, through that Spirit of grace, and those supplications, that earnest prayer poured out from your heart for mercy, for the forgiveness of sin, we read then, don't we, there's a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. And the hymn writer puts it like this, doesn't he? Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Their sorrow is turned into joy. Dear friends, this is the new birth. These are the sheep of Christ. This is a real experience in the heart and soul. And dear friends, the things of this world, they grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, dear friends, from those souls there's going to be some fruit. There's going to be some fruit manifest, evident, of that work of grace within them. How can you have such a work of Christ manifest in the heart of a sinner and there not be an outward effect? You don't carry on as you did once, did you? No, things have now changed. You're humble, you're tender. Oh, if anything to do with sin, how it grieves you. And your desire is to live near unto the Lord who hath saved you. Your desire is to live in obedience to his will and to his word. Your desire is to lean upon him at all times. The cry unto him is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do in all the circumstances of your life? You fear to go your own way. And because you've still got your own heart by nature still within you. As the days go on, you feel it welling up in all its power, in all its strength. And you're tempted and you're tried and you perhaps don't want to go. Well, you don't want to go in the way the Lord would have you go, because his ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not your thoughts. And there's that trial within, and you fear to grieve the Spirit of God. And when you fall, and when you do fail, and when you do depart, it grieves you. It grieves you. And so you walk tenderly all your days. You don't exalt yourself. You ever know yourself a sinner? In fact, dear friends, as you go on in the way and life goes on, you feel yourself a greater sinner. Things you once did, which perhaps you never thought twice about now, oh, you have to consider. Is this sin? Is this right before my holy God, my Lord, my Saviour? Is this right in His sight? You don't compare yourselves with others. Oh, you look into the holy word of God. That's your lamp to your feet. That's the light to your pathway. To live unto Christ that saved you. To walk in love as He has loved you. Now, dear friends, if we walk in love as Christ has loved us, then in dealing one with the other, we seek to deal in love, don't we? In mercy, in kindness, in tenderness, to the good and profit of that one with whom we are having to deal with. Dear friends, where the Spirit of God rules in our heart, we shall ever be conscious of what we are. Unworthy of the least of His mercies, yet He hath bestowed them upon us. How do we then deal with those that are around us? Dear friends, we try to deal with them, don't we, in the same spirit. Spirit of love and concern and compassion. Oh, they may be sinners, yes. They may even be an enemy of ours, yes. Well, weren't you like that before, the Almighty God? Oh, what a great difference between you and Christ the Saviour. And yet, oh, look at His mercy and compassion towards you. And here's one who by your own nature and your own self and your own understanding, oh, you'd love to have retaliation against them, retribution, and deal with them as you think you would do, putting them under your thumb or whatever the way is. Dealing with them in wrath, in hatred, in bitterness, in prejudice. Dear friends, that's not the Spirit, is it? That's not the Spirit of Christ you have received. Oh, by their fruits, ye shall know them. That's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it, in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, long-suffering. Oh, how the Lord has to deal with us, doesn't He, in long-suffering. How slow we are to learn at times. Our own spirit still working harshly within us and we fail. Oh, but He that hath loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness He's drawn us, He keeps us in that love. Nothing shall separate us from that love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They don't mean the same to you now, do they, as they once did? Oh, this is your cry now. I could from all things parted be, but never ever, Lord, from Thee. Dear friends, that's the fruit of the Spirit from the heart. And that tender heart. And one's walk in this life is in tenderness, in love, in compassion, seeking one another's good, seeking that which is for peace. For as Paul says there to the Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. By their your fruits ye shall know them. Lord Jesus spoke of the law, didn't he? He condensed it into this wonderful two aspects of it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Dear friends, how can we love him except he first love us? There's no desire, no beauty is that we should desire him, not in our flesh. And we don't. We say we will not have this man to rule over us. There's nothing to draw us unto his mercy and grace. Oh, but when his love is manifest upon us, causes us to come humbly to his feet, that footstool of mercy, and we find there forgiveness, our pardon sealed, peace with God, it's then we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, because it's that Spirit of his that's ruling within us. And thy neighbour as thyself. Thy neighbour as thyself. The one said, who is my neighbour? And the Lord spoke that parable of that poor man who fell among thieves. And the religious ones came along, the Levite and the priests, and they looked upon him and passed by on the other side. Oh, I dare not touch him. He's not one of us. I shall be unclean. I fear what my own kinsfolk or those who are in like pathway as I am, what they will say if I get involved with such a matter as that. But there came by that Samaritan. Dear friends, he had no reason to stop, but in compassion and in love, sparing nothing of that which he had, he saw to the needs of that poor one who was half dead. Laying him on his own ass, led him to that inn, paid the money, did all that was needful for him, in according as he had ability. Dear friends, those are the fruits which have its root in love. Wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. It is not so much the actual outward deeds themselves. It's the way and manner of the root of the matter that is within you. Oh, as we have received love and mercy of Christ, unto the saving of our soul, so we deal one with another in love and mercy. We cannot do anything for their soul, no. But dear friends, the fruit of the Spirit here is prayer, as it was given in those supplications to begin with. Dealing one with another, even those enemies, pray for them. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. Why is that? Dear friends, because of the love you have received of Christ as a enemy, as a guilty one, to him, and yet that compassion flowed down. All that to be made manifest in our daily lives. Dear friends, we don't claim we're doing anything of our own righteousness, do we? That's not the Spirit. We don't claim we're better than others. We do it through the welling up of the love of the Lord within us and the constraining of his Spirit to do that which we believe is right in his sight. The Lord speaks of this recorded in Luke chapter 17. I think it's in Luke 17. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Nothing more than that. Nothing saving in duty, is there? There's no glory in ourselves of our own duties. Christ is the glory within, in our midst, and all what he has done for us. But oh, through that love he's bestowed upon us, so we are to walk in love. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The manner in which things are done, the way in which things are tackled, the fear of the Lord evident in all things that we say and do. Wherefore by their fruit ye shall know them. Doing all, not to your own glory, not to plead your goodness, not to rise yourself above others, not to be a judge of others. No, as Paul says, we're the chief of sinners. All we can do is our duty, what we should do. And we fall and fail in doing that, don't we? No, but Christ is the glory. That fruit within us of his Spirit, manifest to do all to his honour and glory in accordance with that fear. Now what about those goats? They did what was right in their own sight. They were ruled by their own hearts, by their own wisdom, by their own mind. They may have been religious. Those were religious who preached the gospel and said, look what we've done in thy name. But he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, they were without grace. They were without the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave shed his own blood on Calvary's cross. They never knew anything of the sweetness of the power. They never knew what it was to be a guilty sinner at that footstool of mercy. They'd never looked upon him whom they had pierced. Therefore there was no good spirit within them. And they lived their lives, perhaps morally upright, obedient to the law of the land, maybe attending the house of God, but only worshipping with their lips. Their hearts were far from him. Never draw. Oh, dear friends, what a distinctive word this is, isn't it? How is it with you? How is it with me? We sung a hymn tonight opening, Lord, remember me. Those are the words of the thief on the cross at the time Jesus himself was crucified. He had no time to do any good works, did he? It was the 11th hour of his life. He was to pass from time into eternity. Dear friends, his salvation depended upon that faith that was given to him to look unto Christ and there plead that he would remember him in spite of all his sin. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus is sufficient, only that is sufficient, to save us from the pit and the depths of hell. But where the work of grace, dear soul, dear friend, is begun, and the Lord does lengthen out our lives, and we do spend those days and years, whatever it is, upon this earth, then, oh, that Spirit to rule our heart, to govern our words and our ways, that in all things and days, everything, your school, your home, your work, in the church, let grace abound in every part. And teach our tongues to sing thy praise. Dear friends, a soul that sings his praise is a guilty soul. And praises the Lord for his mercy. And upon that mercy we live day by day. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. One thing in closing. The Lord Jesus spoke that by our fruits we glorify the Father. And that was in the context of the parable of the branches grafted in to the living vine. You see the teaching of Christ. It's all one, isn't it? It's one truth. We are only alive to bring forth fruit as we are found in Christ himself by faith, rooted, bound unto him by faith, trusting in that precious blood, that atonement for sin that he fulfilled on Calvary. And then that love, or the grace, or that heavenly sap, as we call it, flowing down to us through Christ Jesus, that in our very being, our lives, in the way we walk and think and do, only then is there fruit brought forth to the glory of the Father. Jesus says one thing is needful. Oh, may that one thing needful be known in each one of us tonight. Rooted in the love of Christ. Christ's love rooted in us. And then to grow in his grace, the knowledge of his love, to bring forth fruit to his honour and glory. Well, may that be the case with each one of us. We read about the good fruit, but every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but where there's that fruit, which has its root in the love of Christ, for Christ's love to them, it's come. Come, ye blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, which is prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. May we hear his voice. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cornford will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pack on Good Friday morning. Let us close with hymn 261. It is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Hymn 261.
O Lord, we have sung of humility, a fruit of the Spirit. And who can have a humble trust in Thee but one who knows Thy saving grace? Lord, who come and manifest Thyself to each one of us, that we may walk humbly all our days, looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Forgive us, Lord, for many sins, many failings. But may we be amongst those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, Lord, we lay ourselves before Thee. Have mercy upon us. Watch over us as we separate. Be with us every moment of each day that is before us. May we know Thy good hand, Thy mercy and love toward us. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost to be with us. Yea, now and even for evermore. Amen.